Your loving kindness, Lord, draw us to you this day fresh by the revelation of your loving kindness. I thank you for that, Father God. Lord, you've begun a work in us. And Father, I pray that the ministry of the word would contribute to that work being done, to bring us to the place of completion in the name of Jesus. Amen.
You finish your
work. Hallelujah. You can be seated. I'm going to go to Romans 8, 26 and 27. I was sharing from these verses last week, but I'll read them as a text. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the hearts knows what's the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now, what we're going to be looking at is intercession, which means to go before an authority in behalf of someone else. And God's called us as saints to go before him in behalf of other people, which we call that praying for people. So that's a part of the priestly ministry that he has given to us. And we want to continue to grow in our understanding and operate in that. Now, verse 26, he says, likewise, which means what he's about to say has a comparison in a previous verse here. And he's talking about he's given us a hope, and with patience we wait for it. God is a God of hope, faith, hope, and love. Our faith is in his power and love and faithfulness to bring his desires for us, or his hopes for us, into reality. Hope is in the future, but it doesn't have a full benefit unless we can draw it into where we're at, into the present reality where we live. But hope is very important because it provides motivation for us. It propels us forward to continue to reach for more of God. And 1 Peter 1:3 says we have a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We have hope that's alive. In other words, it's not going to be snuffed out, dominated, overrun, or anything else. It's always there. Now, many times when it speaks of hope, it speaks of the hope of eternal life and eternity with God. That's the foremost thing. But then there are hopes that he has given us through the covenant, where he wants to reveal himself and be certain things to us. So that's an endless study of our life, is beholding God as he revealed himself in the Bible. Part of that is a God of hope, which keeps us looking forward. It says in Proverbs 13:12 that hope deferred makes the heart sick, or a person without hope will become depressed and discouraged, disoriented, have no motivation. If you have no hope to reach for, then the only thing left is to reach for the pleasure that this world would promise to give you. Now, it'll give you pleasure for a moment, but then it doesn't satisfy it. It stops. So our hope is eternal. It keeps us reaching forward. And then through the covenant, there are things that God promises. So like that, we have the Holy Spirit as a helper. Now, what that's speaking to, the Holy Spirit as our helper in prayer, he's wanting to, or his ministry is to bring into the present reality the hope, will, or desire of God, to draw that into the moment, to where we live. So that's where the comparison is. The Holy Spirit is doing that same thing. We have a hope for God's will to be something, and by faith, faith gives substance to things hoped for, Hebrews 11:1, we pour it into the reality. We live by faith, and the hope of God as we walk with Him becomes our present reality as we're moving forward. So in the same manner, the Holy Spirit's ministry of intercession or being our helper in prayer is the same in that He's looking at bringing the will of God to pass in our lives. Now we'll look at that more here in a moment. Holy Spirit helps our infirmities, which is a weakness, an inadequacy. Do you ever feel an inadequate? May the liars repent if you're denying that. Of course we feel it inadequate. Don't think it's strange or unusual. You know, in and of ourselves, we are insufficient for the things of God. Jesus Himself said in John 15:5, I can't do anything apart from the Father God. I only do what He's enabling me to do. So when you're looking at things in this life, be it certain challenges in the natural, or more so the challenge of God, the will of God, the plan of God, as you look at that, apart from Him, you will feel overwhelmed. So that's not an unusual thing for us. What we want to learn to do is connect with God in relation to those things. Then we have perfect peace. We're not going to be overwhelmed. So it says we don't know what we should pray for as we ought. See, that's where we come up short. If we understand we're in right standing with God, we can boldly come to the throne. We're cleansed by the blood of the Lamb, and His blood speaks. We can boldly come before Him. Well, then, if we're asking according to His will, we have a peace that He's going to do that. But many times people do not pray for the right thing or not know what they should be praying for. So he says here, we don't know what to pray for as we ought, but, and here's a good but the Spirit itself or Himself, the Spirit of God Himself, makes intercession for us, or the word for is better translated over us. His ministry is watching over us. It's over us to help us, like a bird being under the wing of its mama, of its mother. He's watching over us in prayer. He's helping us because we don't know how to proceed. We don't know how to engage things. And He does it with groanings which cannot be uttered or put into articulate speech. Now, many times there are things that need prayed for and with the help of the Holy Spirit, and we don't even know what to say. We don't know how to pray. Now, sometimes you can pray certain things according to what's known in the Word, and you pray that. But there's many times you don't know, and the Holy Spirit, in the gift of the Holy Spirit and His gift of speaking in other tongues, He will give us the words to pray. He needs us to pray because He gives authority to believers. But then He will help us in giving us the words to pray because many times we don't know what to pray. Now, great case in points right now, Brother Allen's in Tanzania. And we have an itinerary, and hopefully you have one on your refrigerator or someplace you frequent or beside your bed. And I think Donna put this week's schedule in there. I can't even pronounce the places he's going. much less have any clue what he's encountering there. I may have a little bit of an idea hearing him talk, but when you subtract electricity, running water, that means there's no internet, no toilet. When you begin subtracting things like that and scale everything down to a real basic level, and you're going to a people that have never yet heard the name of Jesus, who have whatever ways about them and whatever demons are, that are controlling them. How do you know what to pray for somebody like that? But bless God, we have the Holy Ghost, who is our helper, who, as we pray in the Spirit, he gives us the words, and you don't have to understand them. Sometimes people struggle with praying in tongues because they can't figure it out. Well, you don't need to know. You ever hear an expression, some things are on a need-to-know basis. Sometimes he'll tell you exactly what it is. But many times, we don't know and we don't need to know. We just need to be that obedient vessel that he can flow through in our prayer. Praise God. That's a wonderful blessing. And lives and ministries that have that as part of the foundation are very different from the rest. I can't emphasize that enough. It's not a matter of pride. That gift is available for whoever. But as Holy Ghost-filled, tongue-talking believers, we have some tools to work in our behalf that are vital to the success of the ministry and to the success of our life and our families' lives. And to begin to move forward without the operation of that, we're just going our own ability. We will fail. We will be frustrated. But praise God, we are not left to our own. We have access to the ministry of the Holy Spirit, of which this is part. This is part of it. There's different components to his work. This is one part. And it's what I'm feeling led to share at this time. I don't preach this every week or anything like that. But it is very appropriate, and I feel it's a now word for us. So he will give us the words, and sometimes it may just be as a groan. It may come out as a groan or as like weeping or a groan. Oh, you know, and, you know, like if Donna hears me groaning in the bedroom, I don't have like indigestion. It's Holy Ghost. Sometimes she'll hear me groan and she'll peek her head and, "Are you okay?" "Yeah, I'm fine." Oh, yeah. Well, the Holy Spirit's ministry is so vital. Now, verse 27 is something very important to shed light on this, because these verses are very much misunderstood in much of the body of Christ. "He that searches the hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, and because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God." The Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is all about the will of God. When Jesus was on earth, he wasn't throwing parties for himself. He wasn't on great excursions. Well, I think we'll just go down and see Victoria Falls or something. He didn't do any of that. He was completely given to, "Father, what is your will?" And that is especially stated in the Gospel of John repeatedly. "I am here to do the will of the Father." And the reason for that is the will of God being done is what releases the life of God. Jesus instructed us concerning prayer to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." The kingdom of God's manifest as his will's being done. And the will of God being done is completely linked to the Holy Spirit. Him showing us his will, giving us the strength, wisdom to obey to do it. Colossians 1, is, you know, we could say it's a prayer of Paul. What we see there, he's praying they would have the knowledge of his will with all wisdom and spiritual understanding. No, wisdom's to know what to do. You can know what God wants, but you have to know what to do. Well, how do I do this? What do I do? I know what you want, but how do I do it? Well, he doesn't leave you alone to figure it out. Maybe I could liken it this way. I would tend to be the kind of person that you get something and he's put together. And there's this piece of paper that's in the packaging. And you're unpacking, you want to get to it, you want to get that end result. And maybe you like see a picture, say if it's a model or something, you see a picture, and you're just going to make that, and you start just hooking things up, and it's something's not right, and you look over, there's four pieces laying there. And had you read the instructions, it all would have worked. But see, sometimes we proceed out of our own thinking. So that's not my gift. Some of you, that's maybe your gift to figure things out and put together things. Praise God for you. I'm the kind of guy, hit me in the head when I wake up, may the bike be all put together. You know, whatever it would be. Yeah, I'm just not Mr. Mechanical. But that's sort of how it is. Sometimes we go at things, we get an idea of what God wants, but we don't follow his instructions step by step. And there's some missing pieces in this, and now we have a problem. So he that searches the hearts knows the mind of the Spirit. He makes intercession for the saints according to something. Or in other words, what he is doing flows out from God's will being done. And that's what the word according to means, kata, it's the Greek word, that it flows out like streams flowing to form a river. And he makes that intercession according to that. Now this is important, but I want to backtrack here in verse 27. He that searches the hearts knows the mind of the Spirit. The mind of the Spirit that he's speaking to is the will of God. That see, he's always working toward that. And there's so many verses, especially in the New Testament, that speak to that. He's working to bring a certain thing to pass. Now, we see from the Bible, the book of Revelation, that at the end, he's going to have a glorious church, a new Jerusalem. He's working toward all of that, but we're still a work in progress. But he knows what he's working toward, and it is how it's going to be. It's better for us to get in on what he's doing, be a part of it. So he has the a mind or the will to be done, and he searches the hearts, and these two things, these two thoughts, must be connected together, or we will misinterpret. It must be connected. In other words, he knows all the pieces in the order they need to be put together. He also knows the end of this thing. He has the diagram, the plan, the vision for what it's going to end up being. As believers, we are given glimpses into what he wants to do, but people have struggled over the centuries to understand it. But we can. And really, and when I was teaching on the book of Ephesians, this is really what I was getting to there. He's building his church. And the church will be the dwelling place of God where his glory is manifest. Now, personally, we are the temple of God, and he wants to manifest his glory, which would entail his character, his life, to manifest that through us, but then you put us together and it's magnified to a greater degree or a greater level. And that's what he's working toward, and it will be. It will be when the times come. So he searches the hearts, and he has that end view, or he knows the mind of the Spirit, or within his heart is what the Father wants, his desire, his plan. And it's out of that that comes the intercession, or in other words, the prayer ministry, the prayer we would make. Now, as I begin to look at this, I want you to consider something. Men tend to pray out of their head. When I say men, I'm including ladies too. Man will pray religiously, and Jesus corrected that in Matthew 6. Don't pray like the Gentiles. Don't just say long prayers. Don't recite prayers. The Lord's teaching on prayer was not something to recite. That's religion. That's just reciting it. Neither do we pray it from our mind, because our mind has great limitations. And if you pray from your mind, one of the things that will be interjected is praying how you think things should be and what you want to be. Now, you in your mind could think, well, I know a lot, I'm pretty smart. That's not good to think like that. It's not what we think, not what we want, and it's not about what we feel. It's none of that. But to pray, allowing the Holy Spirit to help us, giving us the words. Now, he can inspire words in your known tongue as well as the unknown tongue. But nonetheless, they need to be inspired of him, where he begins to lay a truth on your heart to pray using your authority. So your authority is important in this. You have the authority. That's why he needs you to pray. Jesus is not at the right hand of the Father saying prayers. Neither is the Holy Spirit religiously saying prayers. Again, this is a religious thought. Where it says Jesus ever lives to make intercession means he always will represent you before the throne of God. He is our representative. He represents us. And that's where we have confidence our prayer will be heard. He's our he's not. If Jesus was saying prayers for you, why would you need to? Why would I need? And I think he could handle the job. But the matter is, he is taking his place to represent us using our authority that he gave to us, representing it before the throne, and that's where we have confidence he hears our prayer. So we have him as helper there in that way, and we have the Holy Spirit who helps us, because we don't even know what we should pray. We think we do, but we don't know what we think we know. We think we know what and how to pray. Just ponder that. Judge yourself with it. Most people think they know what they should pray. And a lot of it's just it's what they want. But many times, things are not going to be the way we would think. Jesus didn't come to do what we would want. He's not your servant. Well, he was our servant to die for us, our servant to fulfill his high priestly ministry. But we are called to live for and to serve him. It's very important. How do you see Jesus? He Mr. Santa Claus? How do we see him? He's our high priest in that he represents our prayer. Again, confidence is going to be there. Peace is going to be there as a result of that. You know, if you're in a situation where it's a bad situation and fear's trying to grip your heart, you first need to get your eyes on him. Don't just be screaming out a bunch of prayers. That's worthless. You know, there's no power in having a million people pray for you. It's prayer of faith. A prayer that would lay hold of God and His will, His promise for ourselves or someone else. A million people in unbelief is unbelief. Numbers do not waylay unbelief. It's the revelation of the Word that would put unbelief aside. So Jesus, He hears our prayer, represents us. The Holy Spirit will help us with the words. But a key part in this, He searches our heart and He knows the mind of the Spirit, the twofold. Now, I want to share a verse. I was sharing this with the men yesterday. I'm just going to hit it on a more brief level here. Psalm 26, I'm not going to go through the whole psalm, but the first two verses says, "Judge me, O Lord, for I've walked in my integrity." When you walk in integrity, which is the principles of the Word of God that govern your life, when you're walking in that, you welcome any scrutiny or judgment of the Lord, because it's only going to further serve for you to walk in victory and to walk in fruitfulness. "I walked in my integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord." See, any walk we would do has to be by faith. The just shall live by faith. We have to keep trusting in Him. If what you're doing doesn't require faith, I'd venture to say, you're off already. You're not walking His path. You're in your own path. You just didn't hit the wall yet. "Examine me, O Lord. Prove me. Try my reins and my heart." Now, these words here are three different words. In Hebrew, examine means to do an investigation, to search me out, to do an investigation. And this is part of the ministry of the Holy Ghost. And David, a psalmist, was not insecure to ask for this. Insecure people, they're always having these facades and cover-ups and afraid. Oh, somebody might laugh at me. Somebody might judge me. Oh, no, I got to look a certain way. I have to look spiritual. Poor me, I don't mean to be mocking. It's just, that is how it is. And the man of integrity welcomes it because he knows it's going to help. It's going to help. If God can shine the light, it's going to help. And there's an investigation into what is it that I really need. You don't know what you need. You think you know what you need, but you don't know what you need. Let me say that again. You don't know what you need. You might think you know what you need, but you don't know what you need. And we need him to do an investigation. Now, you gave the illustration, this assassination attempt on our president. And Pastor Bill is our former president. Now, I said it the way I want to say it. He's my president. Anyway, Selah. Anyway. There's this big investigation that's going on for a month. Why does such investigation need to be done? To change things so that door's not open to the devil anymore. And that was an open door to Satan to take out the leader of our nation, or the soon-to-be leader again of our nation. It was an open door to the devil. And that should have been evaluated by someone competent and in charge with a right heart. These things should not have been missed. If you don't know what I'm talking about, you got your head in the sand. You need to pay attention to something like Newsmax. But you had that, there was an open door to the enemy, and the person in charge, who they won't give the name. How do you fire somebody? You don't even know who they are. Oh, that evaluation should have already been done. Oh, that rooftop? That's the obvious place for an assassin to climb up there with a high-powered rifle and kill our president. I don't have any police or military experience, and I know enough to see that. Didn't need an investigation to tell me. But the investigation should have been done, and normal Secret Service protocols would be they send men ahead, or women, send them ahead to evaluate, investigate, and then form their plan. Here's what we need to do to fulfill our mission of protection. Well, now that they failed, well, now there's an investigation to find out why. Why, and again, why, so it doesn't happen again. Now, the enemy, Satan, is seeking whom he may devour. 1 Peter 5:8. He is an investigator as well, looking for every opportunity to take you out. It says he searches it out. You know, lazy people don't search. Lazy people might notice the obvious. Satan's searching it out. Where are your weakness and your vulnerability? And he understands human nature because he's had 6,000 years of practice. He knows what to look for with people. He can put something out and watch them react in fear. And he knows, got this old boy here in fear. We can take him down. And he'll be very patient to try and set you up, to set up for the evil to be done to take you down, whether it's destroy a marriage, destroy your health, destroy your finances, destroy your reputation, whatever it might be. Destruction's the name of his game, death. And he will seek it out and watch and wait. And when the moment's right, pounce. Now, in the animal kingdom, you have a lot of creatures and animals, things that operate like this. You know, they're watching, they're waiting. I mean, if you ever watch a cat, and they're watching for a mouse, and they watch. Well, we've had cats before, we don't have any now, but and when they see that mouse, their tail starts like this. They're getting all excited, and they're crouched down, and they're just waiting, and pounce! And the one we had was an excellent mouser. And she felt she had to show she was worthy of getting fed. So she'd sneak the mouse in the house just to show us. It's like, what are you doing? You know, the other one was lazy, fat and lazy. She didn't catch any mice. But this one was mouse extraordinaire. She was great. And I remember watching it one time. I'm sitting and I'm watching. She's dialed into a mouse. I'm watching this. And she pounces. And it's just like waiting for that moment. And then beyond that, now here's, I like cats, okay. I'm a dog person, but I'm not, that's the only way to go out shooting cats or anything. But they do have an element of a type and shadow of the devil. The reason I say that, she'd catch the mouse and then let it go and let it walk, let it like hop away like 3 feet and then pounce on it and whack, box his head a little bit, let him go, and then she'd get bored and then she'd just bite his head off and eat it. So that part's like a picture of the devil, because he doesn't just want to destroy you. He wants to punish you and everyone around you or anything to do with you in the process, and he derives pleasure from that. He derives pleasure. You know, somebody enjoys inflicting pain. Sometimes I think something wrong, demonic, and I always pick on certain nurses. You know, I get like a shot or something, And they're like apologizing. I'm sorry, Mr. Hake, it's going to hurt. I said, what's wrong with you? You want to inflict pain on me all the time. So anyway, I'm just having fun with them. And I don't really mean that. Well, examine me. The Holy Ghost does a search on you. Now, we have our like search engines for things on the, online. And he'll do a search, and the enemy's doing a search. And throughout the animal kingdom, this thing works like this. The animal kingdom. We have a hawk lives in our area, and he'll sit up certain places and just wait. And Donna loves to take care of all the critters. And she's leading them to her death. Putting that crack corn out there or whatever, and they come, you know, come in. But, you know, the ones that live past a few months or whatever, they get wise to it and they're watching. But, you know, they'll wait, pounce. And a new one coming into the area, they'll begin to observe the comings and goings of the birds. And they see, oh, a food source. So they'll find a strategic location, just wait. And a bird takes off, and pow, they got them. So I just want to, again, through these illustrations, underscore that Satan is searching out how to destroy you. It's like an assassin. And the Holy Spirit, he knows what you need. He'll search your heart. He knows what you need. Jesus said to Peter, prior to him forsaking the Lord, Satan desires to sift you like wheat, but I pray that your faith fail not. The Lord knew the attack coming at Peter. Peter swore, I'd never deny you. He thought he knew where he was at. He thought he knew his needs. And he didn't, really. But Jesus did. He wants to sift you like wheat. But I prayed your faith not fail. And he exhorted me to strengthen his brethren then. You make a difference in them. You help them. Examine me. So we desperately need that. Not just for ourselves, but for others. Because you can think you know how to pray for somebody and what they need. But I would submit to you, 99% you don't know. And the sooner we realize that, the sooner we're going to be paying attention to the Holy Ghost and listening for him, and allowing him to pray through us, giving us the words. He says here, prove me, which is to put to the test. Test me. Now, earlier in the year, I did multiple weeks teaching on testing. And one of the key points is, everything you believe will be tested. Everything. And the test is good in that it reveals what's in you. How do you know what to change or what to deal with if you don't even know what's going on? The test reveals that. So you have like a student in school, sometimes, oh no, test. The only reason they're going to moan and complain like that is because they're not sure they know the material. But any student that knows that they know, straight A student, knows that they know the material, they did the homework, bring it on, teacher. What do I get after I pass this test? Mom, Dad, what do I get after? I have a test tomorrow. What am I going to get if I pass this test? Well, you're going to be tested. And if you don't pass the test, guess what? You're going back around. You got to retake it. You're going to see the same things again. And if we have no discernment what we're even dealing with, how are we going to pass the test? So there's the testing, and it says to rejoice in the testing. Human nature does everything it can to avoid it and get away from it. But as we know the Spirit of God and His Word, we welcome it And we realize if I find out I don't really know what I think I know, that's a good thing, because now I can let him begin to work, do some work on me here. And he says, try my reins and my heart. Or that's the word for refiner's fire. Refine me, refine my heart. So as the Lord's taking us on, there is a burning out of the impurities to where we become a pure vessel of gold, or we're carrying the life of God filled with the Spirit. For thy loving kindness is before my eyes, and I've walked in thy truth. The basis for welcoming all this is that our eyes are on his loving kindness, which encompasses grace, mercy, faithfulness, love, long-suffering, all of these thoughts that we would express as love. As we have our eyes on him, then we're in a position to walk forward and to see clearly. It is so important we keep our eyes on his love, or and that's what how would be thy name means. We acknowledge the name of the Lord, or his characteristics, and that enables us to walk. So the Holy Spirit's ministry, he will help do an investigation. He knows that which we need, and he also has the mind of the Spirit in that what he wants to bring as a hope, the will of God, the hope, into reality. That's before him, as well as our shortcomings. So in praying in the Spirit, we're praying not according to our thinking. And there's, say, someone that you know who's unsaved or backslidden or whatever, and you might on the surface think you see the problem. And that's not what you think you see is not what really the problem is. Or I'll say it this way, rarely is that the real problem. We're seeing the surface. Jesus spoke to the Pharisees, and he called them a bunch of, like corrupt graves. You know, there's corruption inside of them. But on the outside, everything looked great. And see, sometimes we judge by appearance and not righteous judgment. Jesus addressed this in John 5. He said, judge righteous judgment, not by appearance. Things can look a certain way and not be that way. In fact, they're rarely the way they appear to be. If you walk in judging by appearance all the time, you're going to miss the things of the Spirit, and you're undoubtedly going to get into sin in the judgments you would make. Now, sometimes God might reveal something that's working somebody else. And outside of that, you have to be really, 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 really careful. However, God will give us the words to pray for the person or persons whose heart is hard or away from God. You know, there could be someone who has certain behavior and it's causing something else destroying their life, and it appears a certain way. And what you would never see is maybe years ago, they were rejected by their father or mother and carried a bitterness the whole way through their life. That's not seen. It says in James about the like with a fire, you don't see the kindling, you don't see the match, you don't see where it started. Well, sin's that way. But the Holy Spirit sees it. And sometimes it can take a long time for people to see certain things. And I am not one to advocate we dig up all the dirt in our old life. That's a wrong doctrine. It's been out there over the years. You know, call it whatever, inner healing, whatever. Dig up dirt. I don't have to dig up dirt. I'm forgiven, I'm cleansed, that's behind me. However, there might be something the Holy Spirit needs to reveal to me that maybe be something I would repent of or forgive someone else. You know, whatever it might be. And that revelation of that moment becomes the launch, launching forward. Sometimes people spiritually can feel stuck, or it's like they're a vehicle and their wheels are in the mud, spinning. And it can't, and you know, if you get in mud, in case you don't know this, you don't floor it. You don't give more gas because you're just going to dig a deeper rut. But sometimes people get into the rut and there doesn't seem to be a way out. Jesus is the way. There is a way out. There is a way to be free. It needs to be revealed. And sometimes there's a measure of the ministry of the Holy Spirit in prayer that we can get boosted out of the mud. We can break free. Now, at times it might be, you know, like one or two or three people in your life that you feel comfortable to be honest, and they join their prayer with yours and praying in the Holy Ghost till we come out of the mud. If you're spinning in the mud, it's generally not a good idea just to, you're going to do it yourself. I'll figure this out. Now, it's not generally a good idea. What we need is the Holy Ghost, who knows the mind of the Spirit, the will of God, and he searches the hearts. And when you know he's really searched you out, and you're clean, you judge me, O Lord. I mean, you're welcome it. You're not hiding anything. Touch me. Help me out, Lord. Is there something I need to know? Again, we don't scratch up dirt, but it's like, for something I need to know, he's faithful to show you. He loves you. He'll show you. Amen. Father, I thank you for your word today. Father, help us to receive the revelation of this. Thank you, Father. The revelation of this truth will change our life. And Father, as a people, we shall move forward, be greater vessels to be used by your Spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.